Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nations.
Good morning. How many of you were here last Sunday? Okay, that's a good number. Yes, last week we talked about living under authority as a way of preparing us for the blessings, the season that God wants to usher us in. I hope you didn't leave scared. So if last Sunday was the fear of God, today I want to give you the love of God. But you need both, the fearful love of God. So today we want to go a little more into why God places us under authority. Okay? Why God places us under authority. Last Sunday we looked at, I think, two reasons. One was that God places us under authority so that the authorities can minister to us. And we took that from Romans chapter 13, verses 1, 2, 4. Okay? Number two, we said that when we are under authority, it's an opportunity to learn obedience. Now we are going to take it a notch higher and look at other reasons why you should rejoice being under authority. I know sometimes because of the fallen nature of man, the authorities that God puts us under may become burdensome. They load it over us. But that's not the design reason, the original reason why God put us under authority. He did not put us under authority so that we suffer. So if the authorities are mistreating you, your parents are mistreating you, your head teacher or class monitor or head prefect, head of the school council, what else? If all those people are mistreating you, it does not mean that that authority is necessarily bad. That is not the reason God put you under that particular parent, that particular, you know, LC chairperson. There is good in that authority that is over you. Amen. And the primary reason God put you under authority is actually to give you life. To give you life and to keep you alive. We see that in Genesis 6:18. In 6:18, this is what the Lord told Noah. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your son's wife with you. Okay? Go to 19. When you hear what God told Noah at that time, it was a time for rescue. There was trouble in the world. And as we said last week, whenever God is going to begin a new season in anything, in a nation, in your company, in your school, in any small entity, even in your family, he will raise up an authority to spearhead that season. And now the world was entering a new season, and God chose the authority of Noah. Now, there is a difference between the institution of authority and the person of the authority. God works through people. God delegates his authority to human beings. Therefore, when you hear that as a church, you have authority over certain things in this world, in this nation, in your community. It is not just the church, the four walls. It is actually the human beings in that body of Christ in that locality. When you hear that last Adam tabernacle, God has given it authority. He's giving authority to the individuals in the church, not just the building. Otherwise, the building is just cement and blocks and steel bars. God has not given the authority to non-living things. He has given you authority as an individual. So here he makes a covenant with Noah. And the covenant was about saving lives. He was beginning a new chapter. It is the same covenant that we receive in Jesus Christ in John 10:10. In John 10:10, we are told that the thief does not come except to and destroy. But Jesus Christ has come that we may have life and that we may have it in abundance. Noah was a type of Christ. So, when God is beginning a new season in your life and he places you under authority, it is actually to give you life, freshness of life. If things come your way and they are destroying, please don't begin thinking it is God that is sending destruction your way. That is the enemy. But God puts you under authority that you may have life, that you may live. And we also saw this in Genesis 50:19-21, last Sunday. And this is what Joseph told his brothers when they arrived in Egypt. He said to them, "Do not be afraid, for I am in the place of God." Am I in the place of God? "But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is this day to save many people alive." The whole essence of this is that your little ones will be comforted. Okay? Authority is not meant to torment you. Authority is not meant to make life miserable for you. And should authority make life miserable for you, instead of running away from that authority, pray that that authority actually gets the intent of God for being in authority. Authority is meant to preserve you. Authority is meant to make it comfortable for you to prosper in the things that God has assigned you to do. And this was the beginning, as we saw for Israel in Egypt. It was a season to begin multiplication. The increase of Israel was in Egypt, so that by the time they enter the promised land, they have the desired numbers. And by the way, not all the multiplication even took place in Egypt alone. One of the reasons why Israel delayed in occupying the land was that the Lord told them that, you know, this land you're going to inherit is full of beasts. If you go in few in number, the beasts will overwhelm you. So God usually prepares a place for you where you can increase. Now, increase, does it mean you'll have more heads and more arms and what? No. But it means that you grow in your capacity to inherit the blessing that God is bringing your way. You need the capacity, the ability to handle the blessing that God is sending you. Otherwise, so this is so key for you to know and rejoice in, that God is not giving you authority to be under, to torment you, but actually to give you more life, to be a blessing to you, to comfort you. Amen. Then the second reason that you should enjoy really being under authority is that authority is supposed to bless you. We read in Genesis chapter 12, 2 to 3, the Lord told Abraham that I'll make you a great nation and I'll bless you. Okay? I'll give you a great name and you shall be a blessing. Now, Abraham is an authority that we were put under as followers of Christ. That's why the famous song says, Father Abraham. So we are of his household of faith. Now, we are under the household of Abraham, the household of faith, so that we can partake of his blessing. Amen. So that we partake of his blessing. Now, that is another reason why you should rejoice being under authority. There are things that may not make sense to you right now while you're under certain governing authorities in your life. But every authority that God has put in place has a dimension, a certain measure of blessing that they are supposed to bring upon the people they are leading. Your father, your mother may be a mean person, but in their meanness, they have a certain measure of blessing that they are supposed to impart on you as their child, biological or adopted. Your supervisor may look mean, and indeed they may be harsh, but in their harshness, the harshness is not of God. It's the fallen nature. But the fallen nature does not take away the authority to bless you that God has put in that boss of yours. Amen. So, don't be quick to despise the authority you've been put under. They have something they can impart in your life to make it easier for you to walk the fullness of life that God designed you for. Amen. And in Genesis 1:28, if you want, you will read verse 22 later. But in verse 28, we see the full meaning of what to be blessed looks like. And this is what we are told. Then God blessed them. This was Adam and Eve. And said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Now, blessings in your life will manifest with fruitfulness. Barrenness is not a sign of blessing. And don't settle for it. Don't settle for it. Barrenness in your work, in your life, is not a sign of a blessing. There is fruitfulness. Then God told them that multiply. There is increase. Third, he told them to subdue. By the way, to subdue means to rule over, to take control of. Circumstances that are tough, you make them work for your good. That is what to subdue means. Now, if you're walking in the blessing of being under authority, you'll be able to subdue your environment. Amen. However harsh it is, if you're willingly submissive to the authorities God has put you under, you can subdue the harsh conditions you're living in to work in your favor. Amen. And last, dominion really means to be in charge now. For things to obey you. To work for you. Now, why is this key for you? The authorities that God has put you under, there is, I don't know how it works, but it is true in the spiritual realm. Certain governing authorities God has put you under create an environment for you to be blessed. We saw it last week. That was the case with Hagar. Hagar was living under harsh conditions. Sarah was not an easy person. But God told Hagar, go back to Sarah, submit to her, because you are going to be blessed under her. Now, it does not mean that Abraham was going to father other children with Hagar. No. But while within the realm of Sarah, an impartation of blessing was also going to come upon Hagar. So it is not just what people speak to you, but there is also an environment. Just like there is an environment of evil, there is also an environment of good. There are some people being around you, or you being around them. Things work for you. That's what happened in Pharaoh's household. Pharaoh realized that having this fellow Joseph around, things are going well. There is an authority, there is an anointing, there is an ability, an enabling that certain people have around them. And by virtue of you associating with them, things just go well for you. And now you get to realize that it is not your faithfulness that has been working, but it is the faithfulness of the authority you're submitting under. When you try to disobey and get out of the realm of the authority, and things begin going wrong for you. This thing is true. Abimelech, King Abimelech in the Philistines' kingdom then, he began getting blessings because Abraham was around. And even in the time of Isaac, the same thing. So there are certain people that carry a blessing, an environment of blessing. And you need to know that God, in his sovereignty, has given all governing authorities the ability to impart a blessing upon every person that is under the authority at any level. So you should rejoice that you're under authority, because God delegates his ability to bless to governing authorities. Amen. In Genesis 14:14-16, we also see that being under authority, God does so that you get rescued in times of trouble. Now, some of you may not have seen the trouble that is coming your way, but at some time trouble will come. And it is the authority under which you're submitting that your rescue will come. When Lot was taken captive, we read in those scriptures in Genesis 14:14-16, he was rescued by his brother Abraham. Now, you may wonder, but these are siblings. How can siblings, one have authority over another? You people, it happens. Jacob was blessed more than Isaac, more than Esau, his brother. And the prophecy came that Esau was going to serve his younger brother, Jacob. It is very possible that even in your family, you could be siblings, but one of you has more authority in the way God sees it, has more authority to bless the family than the elder siblings. So here Abraham was blessing Lot. And in time of trouble, who comes to the rescue? Abraham. Now, this is why it's so dangerous to despise the authorities that are around you or the people God has placed you under. They may look insignificant, but you don't know what the future holds. These people are going to redeem you, and God knows why he has put you under that authority now. The rescue may not come tomorrow, it may not come next week, but 3 years, 4 years down the line, God knows that you are to be rescued by this person. And he begins aligning you to be under that authority today. Amen. So I've had testimonies about 3, maybe 4 weeks ago. I had a gentleman who was, I think about 2 years ago, he was being supervised by a certain individual. Then this person was transferred to another department. But at that time when this gentleman was being supervised by another manager, the manager wrote in the performance appraisal of this guy that this guy deserves a pay increase. Now, when the manager was switched, the new leader had nothing, did not even want to hear anything about a pay increase. Then later on, this is 2 years later, the board was looking into the records. Then they landed on a record that is more than 2 years old. And they asked, has this man ever received the pay increase? And the answer was no. They said it has to be effected now. And this guy got, I think, a pay increase of more than 120%. And this guy was already getting millions. Why? Some of you here may know that testimony well. But this guy, under that manager, was one of these managers' very faithful subordinates. Now, what the time may not have worked well for him when this manager left, but records stay. And there is a record here on earth, but there is a record which can never be deleted. That's a record in heaven. The angels, God will send his angels to consult those records. And they'll say, so and so was a faithful person. And they will rescue you. And this guy, the increase, I'm told, you know, has helped in finishing, completing his apartments and all those things. So, please, do not despise the authorities that God has put you under. Amen. Number 4, the authorities that you've been put under are always interceding for you. By the way, people think that intercessors are only in intercessors of Uganda. Did you know that there are certain things or strongholds upon this nation which will only go if the head of that nation prays? It does not matter whether the president is a believer or not. But because God has put that person in that place, there are certain strongholds that can only be dealt with by the leader of that nation. Amen. And, you know, God, well, I was going to say God knows, but anyway. God knows this. That's why when he was rescuing the children of Israel from Egypt, the last stronghold to deal with was Pharaoh, because Pharaoh was at the top. There are certain strongholds you'll not deal with in your workplace unless your supervisor or the person you're under authority deals with them, because it is in their spiritual mandate to handle those forces of darkness. You may fast, you may play all spiritual gymnastics, but there are some things you have no power to deal with because you don't have the spiritual authority over them. The one who has that spiritual authority is the person in authority in that position. And even the demons know that. So when you try to to interfere, by the way, some people have suffered very harsh physical sicknesses because of trying to tamper with spiritual authorities they are not mandated to handle. But this thing is serious. So, until the things that you're suffering within your jurisdiction, That is why you need to pray for those in authority over you, that they may awaken to what God is calling them to do. There are things which they themselves can handle, not you. Pray, and they may not be the nature that fast and pray etc., but they may denounce certain things. They may denounce witchcraft and say no more witchcraft in this place. Now, they have not prayed it in Jesus' name, but the fact that they've said there is no more witchcraft and God has given them authority, that shall be. And it lifts a cloud that has been hovering over you. Amen. There is a time, I think about 2 years, 3 years ago, I had a dream of a church somewhere in up country that was struggling with prayer. Guys were not praying. So, now in the spiritual realm, I went and began wrestling with whatever was holding people from praying. Sometimes you see things happening in the physical realm, but actually the obstacle is in the spiritual realm. And it is only people with certain spiritual authority over those things that can deal with them. There is a time, I think we were in this church, there was, what is it called, the marriage anointing. I think it was in the first wave. One of us, it was their season, but there was a delay. And, you know, he would come and pray every Thursday, etc., marriage anointing, marriage anointing. Then I get a dream where we went as LAT to that person's village and we began battling with demons, spiritual forces. It was a fierce battle and we conquered. Now, when we conquered, this person's relatives said in the dream, now the kuhinjira can take place. And lo and behold, the man now set a date, the actual date for the kuhinjira. Now, it may look like you're just here in LAT, you come on a Thursday, pray, you come on a Sunday, listen to a sermon, go back. But there are certain things that the spiritual authority you have submitted to can only address and not any other authorities. And that will open the door to the things that have been held back for too long. You also see in Deuteronomy chapter 9 verse 18 to 20, we see Moses twice. It is written that Moses fell down before the Lord as at first. That means he was doing it for the second time. 40 days and 40 nights, I neither ate bread nor drank water because of all your sin which you committed in doing wickedly in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. For I was afraid of the anger and hot displeasure with which the Lord was angry with you to destroy you. But the Lord listened to me at that time also. Because of our fallen nature, we are always doing things that make God angry. It's not the fact that Jesus died at Calvary does not mean that he no longer becomes angry. he still gets angry. Now, the people God has put you under authority can intercede for you that God holds back the wrath that would rain on you. Amen. This thing is so true. As it happened in the days of Moses, it does happen today. And in Hebrews 7:23 to 25, we see how Christ is still our perpetual intercessor to those who are submitted to God's authority. Intercession is part and parcel of having authority over people. People intercede for you. They may not call you out by name, but the fact that Pastor Moses gets on his knees, on his feet, and prays for LAT, anyone under the authority of LAT partakes of his intercession. Amen. So it is. These are reasons why you should know where you ought to be. Being in the wrong place, you can end up missing the blessings that can come only through the rightful authority you're supposed to be under. Then in Genesis 41, now 41, if I can describe it to you, it is the whole account of how Joseph was thrown in prison and Pharaoh's chief baker and chief butler went to jail. Now, when they went to jail, they found this Joseph who had been made the in charge of that. There was a chief guard. But when Joseph was thrown in jail, this chief guard gave authority to Joseph. Now, when that happened, events worked around and the Pharaoh's chief butler and chief baker also ended up in jail. And lo and behold, who was their boss? Joseph. Now, you know later on what happened. This chief butler and chief baker had dreams. Now, their interpretation, the chief butler ended up being restored back to his job. Now, the chief baker ended up having his head chopped off. So he lost his life. He died completely. Now, here is the point. God will put you under certain authorities to help you solve puzzles around your life, to give direction, to give assurance, to give certainty. Now, of course, the chief baker, unfortunately, that was not the desired end. But that was the end intended for him. The chief butler, it was restoration. There are things you've been puzzled over for long. And fortunately, you're not going to witch doctors, I hope. But God has put you under certain spiritual authorities that can help you unravel what those mysteries are. The mystery of the butler's restoration was solved by Joseph because he was under Joseph's authority. Immediate authority. Now, the chief guard who had delegated his authority to Joseph did not know what he was doing. For him, it was just the usual work. Take care of these prisoners. But what people are seeing in the natural is not the spiritual intended purpose of the authorities God has put you under. These people God has put you under are going to help you solve certain mysteries around your life. Now, you go ahead and that and know when Joseph solved the puzzle for these people, he told the chief butler, "When you go back, please remember me." Now, it is written that in chapter 44, it's a very good chapter. The guy forgot. Now, it happens to all of us. Sometimes we forget the people that helped us climb the ladder. Sometimes it's natural to forget, but sometimes we intentionally forget. So, the chief butler forgets. Now, time comes again. Now, the chief butler's boss, who is Pharaoh, gets a dream. And the dreams are troubling. You know the dreams about the famine that struck Egypt at the time. The thin cows, the fat cows, the thin grains and, you know, the healthy ones. Now, it is written that this guy, when he was told and Pharaoh had all these magicians around him, couldn't solve the dream, the chief butler remembered that there was a fella, a grand master of dream interpretation. So Joseph was remembered. Joseph comes in, interprets the dream. When he interprets the dream, and not just interpreting, but gives Pharaoh advice on what should be done. Pharaoh says, who else can do this job other than you? Here's the point. The chief butler was under Pharaoh's authority. But look, it is through the chief butler that Joseph found the catoot before Pharaoh. Be careful. The places where you're under authority, God has set you up to be a pathway for certain people to get to their destinies. So if you misuse the position for which you're under authority, you can end up closing the opportunities for other people. You just find you're the one, you're a believer, fire spitting, demon chasing. You are actually an obstacle to people's opportunities. Reason, because, you know, you're taking over. Because you think you're taking over, you cannot submit to authority. You end up being rebellious. And your boss cannot even dare listen to you. They just don't want to hear any word from you. Sometimes the way we conduct ourselves, the way we carry ourselves around, makes ourselves get rejected by the authorities God has put us under. And when you're moved, you end up becoming an obstacle to be a blessing to the people that you ought to have been a blessing to. That's what happened with the chief butler. The chief butler was the opportunity, the window, the door, the key to usher Joseph before Pharaoh. And that's how God intended it to be. So, now, by the way, for you could have already arrived. Where you were, you've already arrived, as in God intends you to be there. Now the rest is just nyongeza. You'll just live like that until Christ returns very soon. As in you've done your part. But your only reason why God put you under authority or even got you born was so that you could be a door, a key for a Joseph to go before Pharaoh. And that is it. You've done your part. Now, you could have lived for 70 years. But because you failed to realize that opportunity, you go to heaven when you're fully born again, but with no crown. Because you missed the whole essence for why God brought you forth. Amen. So, you still remember how Joseph now got there interpreted, but as we saw in Genesis 50 about the account that Joseph was giving to his brothers. Now, Joseph's arrival was not the final thing in Pharaoh's household. Neither was Joseph's purpose just to rescue the Egyptians. The whole intent of God placing Joseph in Egypt was for the sake of Israel. Now, do not confuse your platform with your purpose. You could be under someone, but being under that person is just a platform. The purpose is why God put you there. A good example is in Esther chapter 4, verses 11 to 14. This is what Esther was told. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that any man or woman who goes into the inner court to the king who has not been called, he has but one law, put all to death, except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter, that he may live. Yet I myself have not been called to go into the king these 30 days. This was Esther speaking. Here's what the uncle told her. And Mordecai told them to answer Esther. Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. But Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Why was, by the, in the natural, why was Esther in the king's palace? He was a wife, that is it. In the natural, he was a wife. She was, thank you. Esther was a wife to the king. But that was a platform. Marriage was a platform for the divine purpose. So do not confuse the physical platform with the divine purpose. You're not there just to get married, to become someone's husband, someone's wife. The actual purpose you're there is to redeem. Amen. So don't confuse your being under authority as I am there just to work. It is more than work. It is more than bringing forth children in a marriage. It is more than being an effective auditor, a good student, a good child. There is more than what you see in the natural. There is a divine purpose for why you're under that authority. The whole reason Esther was under the authority of this king was to stop the calamity that was going to befall Israel. Now, at the time Esther was getting married, she probably didn't know about this calamity. Just like you, you don't know. The purpose has not yet been revealed to you. Some of you, you have an idea, but most of us, perhaps we don't. We just know in part. Don't be quick to confuse the natural platform with the purpose. You're not there just to be a wife. Perhaps that is how salvation is going to come to the family that you've gotten married into. Amen. So it is so key for us to know the reason why we are under authority sometimes is for us to be able to fulfill the divine purpose for our existence. Amen. Then let's also look at Exodus 24:13. We are told that when it was God had called Moses and told them to come, you know, to the mountain and spend some time with him, etc. But Moses, the scripture says, Moses arose with his servant, Joshua, and Moses went up to the mountain of God. Something you need to appreciate about being under authority is that those people who have authority over you have the ability to take you to places that you would ordinarily not be able to reach. And when you're there, you will be blessed. You know, you may say, I am just a secretary. I'm just a personal assistant. But did you know that every place where your boss goes, you also get known? You may be a clerk of works at a construction site, but where the engineer goes and you're there, your name is carried with that person. Aaron had, you know, they had those stones, each representing the 12 tribes, that when he would go before the Holy of Holies, he would go carrying the 12 tribes with him. There are places where you will not be able to reach, but your voice will be carried by the person whom God has put you under authority. And what they speak about you before the appointing authority will determine what good or bad comes your way. So don't despise this thing of being under authority. Submission, being subject is key. You guys, it can hinder your blessings. It can close your season. It can close your season. So, Joshua, you know, these, what do you call them? These, not the mysteries, these glorious experiences that Moses was having, Joshua was also witnessing them. The only thing is that, unlike Moses, he was not given the opportunity to write the books. That opportunity was given to Moses. But Joshua saw stuff. he saw everything that Moses saw. Joshua saw it. You have so much privilege. You have access to information because of the person that carries around you. Haven't you seen the president visiting foreign nations and going with the daughters? Do the daughters have any cabinet or political position? But why are they there? By virtue of being in that family. You may have nugu about them, but my friend, they have opportunities and they get to places that they would not ordinarily reach had it not been for their father. Okay? So, now my daughters, if you go to Cafe Java's because of me, ordinarily you wouldn't go to Cafe Java's. Okay? So, this is a very, very key thing. And sometimes, what you do for the person you're under authority will speak for you in places you will not reach. Because when you make the person whom you're under authority shine, people, by the way, know. For example, people know that it's not Pastor Moses that organizes this auditorium on Sundays. But when you make Pastor Moses shine, you get known. Because people want to know who is making, people know. They say, who is making him shine? Who is making this company shine? People know that it's not the CEOs that sit and do the work. It's the frontline staff. They go on and look for those people. The authorities God has placed you under will carry you to places that you would ordinarily not reach. Physically, spiritually, and also in words. Amen. So you enjoy, be faithful when you're under authority. And of course, as you know, with Moses and Joshua, this was an opportunity for mentorship. It was an opportunity for mentorship. Joshua got mentored by Moses. You never know, the people you're submitting under could be mentoring you for a responsibility that you have not yet perceived. And it may not be what the way you perceive it to be, that, you know, I'm now a junior officer, I'll be a senior one, then I'll be a principal. I'm an assistant secretary, then I'll... It is not that. God may be mentoring you for something completely out of your realm of possibilities. Amen. So don't even think that if I'm under pastor, pastor can only mentor me on spiritual things. The way you're looking at pastor and you're under his feet, you're not kissing his feet, but you're under his authority, he may mentor you in character ways. And that character you have acquired may open for you a responsibility that is beyond your qualifications. Qualifications can only take you this far, but character will take you in places that you've never dreamt of. And that is what people are looking for. They are looking for the right attitude. Many people are competent, by the way, But very few have the character to go there. And people are now looking for that character. Amen. So please, mentorship is very key. And you can only be mentored under authority. And that's why last time I may have said it and it looked like a joke. But many people, the things they have in, they may look like they are doing well, but those things are done out of disobedience. There are some of us just are allergic to instructions. You don't want anyone to give you instructions. You don't want anyone to give you orders. Who are you? I have more qualifications than you. Etc, etc. My friend, temwedila instructions. Instructions should not be, is it what, a totem or what? Eh? Don't be allergic to instructions. It is through being under authority that God will lift you up. Amen. And this takes me to Luke chapter 12, verse 42 to 44. And this is what Jesus said. And the Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in what?" To give them their portion in what? But look at the condition. Who is the faithful and wise steward? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. Go back to 42 and 43. You people, being under authority is an opportunity for you to be trained in being a steward. There are certain levels of responsibility you will never rise to unless you can prove that you're a faithful steward. Now, faithfulness is not just about money, but also faithful with decisions, faithful with information, faithful with time, faithful with anything that you've been entrusted with. You can only say you are a steward when you're under authority. If you're not under authority, you're not a steward. You're not. And this is a kingdom principle. We can only learn stewardship under authority. The season you're entering, there are things that will be entrusted to you. But you will be able to multiply this blessing to the measure to which you have learned stewardship. Because stewardship is not just about maintaining. Stewardship is also about increasing and multiplying. Remember the guy who was given a talent and he said, "I knew you were a tough master, I hid it." What he had was removed. Being a steward does not mean you simply keep what you've been given. It is also about multiplying it. How will you be entrusted? You know, it's very interesting. You find junior officers in companies complaining that if they were made heads of departments, they will do better. Meanwhile, they cannot even attain 60% in their performance appraisal in their junior roles. But they are aspiring for four levels higher. Do you know God can fast track you from the lowest level to the uppermost level, just like that, because of faithfulness? There is a time, some years back, I had a dream when God was telling me through a certain messenger that he had found me faithful. Now, I mean, I just looked, I knew I was a latecomer to church. I was, of course, you know, God knows that sometimes I keep time. You know? Yeah, you people who are here last year, you know that. So God does not sugarcoat things. He knows that sometimes or all the times you're late. Now, at the time he told me those things, I knew certain areas I was struggling with, that I was not faithful in. Being a faithful steward does not mean you're 100% faithful. That is not God's measure. Faithfulness is, in stewardship, is you're doing the most and the best with what you have. That is it. That is excellence. You're doing the most and the best with the little that you have. That's it. Amen. So it is so key, and you can never be a steward unless you allow to be under authority. This, and by the way, unless you learn stewardship and you run away to begin your own church, to begin your own ministry, to begin your own company, you people, what you sow, you will surely reap. I can tell you, you will take the unfaithfulness and poor stewardship into your ministry because you are just sowing the same thing. You will raise up church members who can't be stewards. You raise up church members who can't be faithful. Reason? You failed to obey, to subject yourself to authority. Baby, all these ministries that are mushrooming, God has not said they should. Guys are running away from being under authority. Because you think you're a teacher, you should be teaching all the time. You're a prophet, you should be given priority all the time. That's not how things work. Learn how to subject yourself to authority. Even if your pastor is a teacher or an evangelist and you're a prophet, submit yourself to that authority of the teacher for that time. And you guys, you will run to those places and you are going to partake of the disobedience of some of those ministers. Okay, I'm not giving any examples and I'm not mentioning any dreams because I've not had any to that effect. But I have had dreams to that effect. Okay? Lastly, now this one you really don't have to look for that scripture, but go and read the whole chapter. It's Genesis chapter 49. When Jacob was of age, he called his children to bless them. And by the way, he spoke prophetic things in their lives. And literally everything he said to them, that was their destiny. Here's the point for you. The authorities God has placed you under, God has given them the capacity to speak into your life, and those things will come to pass. And it begins with, in the smallest unit, the family, mothers, fathers who are here. God has given you certain things you can speak in the lives of your offsprings and your grandchildren. So those of us who may be having harsh parents, don't discount them. Pray that the harshness goes so that you can tap into that spiritual deposit God has put in them. Jacob spoke destiny into these kids and it came to pass. Your parents can speak destiny into you. Your manager can speak destiny into you. There is a time I was sitting interviews somewhere, I think it was 96, for a scholarship. This person who was heading the scholarship committee, this was 1993-94. I think we were in senior 5 vacation. Now, some of you were not even born. Now, this guy spoke something. We were walking somewhere to, I think we were walking to the British High Commission to have my visa processed. This guy spoke something to me that right now I see it coming to pass. Then, in the 90s, this, how many years then? Yes, 25 years. Because I submitted under the authority of this guy, and he's since passed on. The authorities God has placed you under, they have a prophetic touch. By the way, every authority has a prophetic touch. They are not prophets. Mark my words. Not all authorities are prophets, but they have prophetic touch. By the way, the heathen can have a word. And you need to be sensitive to know that actually what this guy is saying is the word of God. Don't think that God only sends his word through believers. As long as an authority is above you and it is authority of God, God has given them something for you. Amen. So, enjoy, endure being under authority. You guys, it is a pathway to your due season. It is a pathway to your due season. You disobey, you become rebellious, you can delay your season for years and years, and others are busy reaping. When actually there is no devil that is standing in the way, it is your rebellious spirit. Amen. So, I hope you've now loved being under authority more to help you endure that boss. Amen. Glory to God.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.